Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
I remember the first time somebody called me a disciple of Jesus. Yeah, disciple. Had a nice ring to it. It felt strong. You realized you were a part of something much bigger than yourself. Sometimes it was really, really tough. See, I can't begin to describe just how disorienting things were back then. I mean, one minute Jesus is telling you about the gift of life, and the next minute it seems like he's just going to let us drown in the middle of the sea. Spoiler alert, we didn't drown. Sure seemed like we were going to. Looking back on it, I realized that Jesus didn't waste a moment. I mean, he was always showing us that he was who he said he was. Which, I know, begs the question. How can we doubt him? Yeah, I tend to be the one that gets asked that more than anybody, because for some reason, doubter has been connected with my name. For the record, I wasn't the only one who doubted. It's just, I wasn't there the day that Jesus appeared to everyone else. I was gone. And so I didn't, look, the finality of death, it has a choking grip on all of us. And on that day that Jesus was crucified, when death swallowed him up, and then there was the day that they showed me his hands and the scars, and he said, "Thomas, you believe because you see, but there's going to be people who believe who don't see." And that night changed everything. I mean, I was still a disciple, but now I was an apostle, sent to share the good news, to tell a story. You know, there's another word. And started with a few of us, began to spread. I think it's the best word of all. It says everything that needs to be said, because we realize it wasn't about how well we believed. It was about who we believed in. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yeah, from that moment on, we were called believers.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. And once Jesus defeated death and he walked out of the tomb on that first Easter Sunday, his followers started to become known as believers. 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 That's what they became known as. More and more and more. I mean, yeah, they were still known as disciples, or they were known by some as followers of the way. In time, they would be referred to as Christians. But after Jesus' resurrection, the use of the term believer, it became more and more and more prominent among the community of Christ's followers. And throughout the history of the church, believer, this term believers, being a believer in Jesus, it's one of the most common referred to terms that just keeps cropping up over and over and over for those who claim Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Now, the original 12 disciples, along with many others who put their faith, their hope, their trust in Jesus, man, they followed him while he was physically with them on earth. Absolutely. Now, however, once Jesus ascended into heaven, it took place 40 days after his resurrection. Well, then those who followed Jesus as Lord, they no longer could do so with Jesus actually right there, or right there, or right over here in their sights. They couldn't see him anymore because he had ascended into heaven. And from that point forward, from the point of his ascension forward, because followers of Jesus, they couldn't see him to follow him as their King of Kings anymore, the early church really did begin to follow belief in Jesus. And belief in Jesus became one of the chief characteristics of their relationship with Jesus in this new chapter of his kingdom unfolding on earth as it is in heaven. Belief. Belief. Would you say this word with me on three? One, two, three. Belief. Belief. In the 17th century, an English clergyman named Thomas Fuller was credited by coining the phrase, seeing is believing. How many of you have heard that before? Seeing is believing. Yeah, we've heard that. But that's only half of the oft-quoted idiom that he actually said. What he fully said was, seeing is believing, but feeling is the truth. Feeling is the truth. And what John's gospel shares, man, it is so rich. We're going to read it this morning. What John's gospel shares is that the disciple known as Thomas said that he needed not only to see Jesus, but he needed to touch his wounds. He needed to feel the place where the nails were and feel that wound in his side that the spear punctured up into his heart. He needed not only to see, but he also needed to feel, to touch, to also believe. And the feelings that soon would come once Thomas's criteria for belief were fulfilled and met, undoubtedly they just overwhelmed him with the truth that there he is, my Lord and my God. The scene resulting in this belief, it happened actually a week after Thomas had missed Jesus appearing to the other disciples on that very first Easter Sunday morning. And John's gospel, it records the missed moment. If you have your Bible, would you take it and open it or turn it on to John chapter 20? John chapter 20. I want us to start off reading verses 19 and 20, and then we'll read verses 24 and 25. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 20. Let's read this account where not only seeing, but also feeling was the moment for believing in Thomas's life. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, it says this: on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Look at verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and I place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Why all this disbelief and doubt, Thomas? Come on, man. I mean, why does seeing have to be part of the criteria for you? For you to believe, why do you have to see and touch? I mean, the other 10 disciples that were still there, think about it. They wouldn't have any reason to lie to him. I mean, it's not like it was April the 1st. Oh, April Fools! Gotcha! No, they wouldn't have any reason to lie about what they claimed that they all had experienced. Wasn't just one of them, it was all 10 of them. They're all telling Thomas, we've seen the Lord Jesus. I mean, why can't you take the word from the lips of the other 10 guys that had followed him with you? Why can't you believe? Well, let's think about that question for a minute. He's known as who? Doubting Thomas, right? Yeah. Perhaps doubting Thomas's disbelief was due to his intense grief. Think about that. How much were they grieving? I mean, the reality, put yourself back there 2,000 years ago, the reality of the brutal crucifixion that Jesus had encountered just a couple of days earlier may have so clouded Thomas's vision that all hope of belief in a resurrected Jesus, for him, he needed to see and feel the person. I mean, people deal with grief in different ways, don't they? Our world has been grieving this last year, yes? Our nation has been grieving this last year, yes? Perhaps you too have been grieving over this past year. Maybe you're grieving this morning. We're proclaiming he is risen, but there's something that's still hurting inside of you, yes? Maybe. We've experienced a lot as a nation, as a world, as individuals, sickness and death and injustices and unemployment and loss, grief. And some people, when they're grieving, man, they want to be around other people. They want to process and they want to share and they want to carry forward together in community in the middle of their grief. And there are others, perhaps like our friend Thomas, who just want to be alone when they're grieving for a few minutes. And when Jesus first showed himself to the disciples who were together in that room on that first Easter Sunday, John states that Thomas wasn't present in that moment. And when Thomas returns later and he starts hearing the accounts of Jesus' appearance to the other disciples, Thomas is just like, talk to the hand. I'm not going to have any of it. Scripture says that he did not believe. He said it with his own lips. He did not believe. And maybe it was because he wasn't ready to believe and ready to hope at that point in his grief process. Grief has a process, and you got to walk through it. Sometimes grief has been equated as feeling like you're walking through hell. And as another one said, if you feel like you're walking through hell, keep walking. Don't sit down. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep grieving, but keep walking, and one day you'll walk out of the place of grief that you may feel like you're in today. While that famed moment of disbelief ended up labeling Thomas with the nickname of doubter, Can I just tell you, he was much more than an emotional man with trust issues or experiencing some kind of PTSD at the end of a really brutal weekend. No, see, Thomas was a deeply devoted follower of Jesus. In fact, do you realize that Thomas, out of his lips, he would be the first person recorded in John's gospel to call Jesus my Lord and my God? It was Thomas, the one with the nickname of Doubter. He's the man when it comes to proclamation. Now, however, Thomas, he wouldn't be the first of the original disciples to believe. To believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead. No. See, that designation would go to the one that most scholars believe wrote the gospel that we were reading from this morning, the gospel of John. John is believed to have been the very first believer, the one who wrote this gospel. Notice at the beginning of chapter 20, look back in your copy of scripture, the beginning of John chapter 20, how he describes the start of the day where he soon would be the first one to believe in the resurrection. Look at John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. We'll read through verse 8. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, John, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb, and both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Kind of slid that in there. Did you see that? John's going, "I'm just, my 40 times a little bit better." He got there first. Look at verse 5. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there. But Peter didn't go in. But no, John didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb. So John gets there first. He's looking around. Peter then gets there, and he goes in. He's going to let Peter be the lead block. Peter goes into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, here we go, John. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in and what? Say this. He saw and what? Believed. Underline that phrase. He saw and believed. The beloved disciple, John, was the first to believe in Easter. The first to believe in Jesus. Wow. He got to the tomb first. Peter's right behind him. Now Peter, he too would believe and he would share what he had experienced with many, many, many people. And many, many people would come to faith in Jesus. If we were to keep reading in verses 11 through 18, we're told that Mary soon would become a believer in this same risen Jesus at the moment that she heard Jesus call her name. He called her by name. See, for Mary, hearing was a big part of her believing. But for John, he did not hear the voice of Jesus, did he? Doesn't say he did. No. He's peering into the empty tomb. He doesn't hear anything in there. And he did not see the actual risen body of Jesus at that moment. Think about this. John believed by coming to the tomb and looking deep into the darkness. And he was met with a whole bunch of emptiness staring back at him. And there wasn't much else. Think about this with me for a second. Lean into this. Don't miss this. This is for you. This is for me this morning. Biblical scholar Tom Long makes such an astute observation about this moment in John's life, in his faith, in his belief. Look what he says. The beloved disciple, unlike the others, believes in the resurrection in the light of Jesus's, what's that word? His absence. See, there's no evidence of Jesus to be found. Nobody had a video camera. Nobody was taking pictures. We got any hunters in the room? Nobody set up a trail cam to see what was going to be crossing the path of the tomb. Anybody got a Ring doorbell and somebody rings a doorbell and you get a notice on your phone and you're at the office or what? Nobody had a Ring doorbell. There was no eyewitness that was sitting over there to convey what he or she had seen regarding Jesus leaving the tomb. All that was present was an empty slab of rock. No corpse lying all wrapped up in grave clothes from a rushed Friday burial. However, don't miss the last four words that John pens in verse 8 because they're so formidable. He saw and, say that word with me, believed. He saw and believed. And what John saw on that day is the very same thing that you and I see on this day. Nothing. 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 See, if we choose to believe in Jesus, we're going to have to do so like John, aren't we? Yeah. We don't get the privilege of believing in Jesus like Thomas. Well, unless you show up and let me stick your hand through the net. No. See, if we choose to believe in Jesus, it's going to be based on the words about Jesus rather than the physical presence of Jesus. We choose to believe words such as those that the angel who happened to be there at the tomb on that Easter morning. Do you remember what the angel said in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 6? Do not be alarmed. Easy for you to say, Mr. Angel. Miss Angel, it angel, whatever you happen to be, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? We just got to believe it because we can't see it, and neither did John. You and John are in the same boat. We're in the John boat. See what I did there? That wasn't even in my notes. It's divine inspiration. No, so see, we believe even though we physically have not seen Jesus in that moment, or in any moment, as a matter of fact. Now, we see the work of Jesus' hands, yes, but we don't see Jesus. No. No. And you know what? Jesus speaks to that kind of belief that you and I have, that you and I struggle with. And he tells Thomas about it when Thomas shows up a week later and Jesus shows up a week later in kindness. Jesus is so kind and so gentle, so thoughtful. He comes back around so that Thomas can see, can touch, can feel, and thus believe after all. John reveals these details in chapter 20. At the conclusion of his chapter, verses 26 to 29, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand, place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have what? Say it with me. Believed. Wow, what a powerful moment. I mean, if you are a believer in Jesus today, you are one of the ones that Jesus is referring to here. You were a part of the mind of Christ during that first week. Wow. Man. Because see, if you're a believer in Jesus, you are believing based on words. Blessed are those who have not seen. That's every single person listening to this sermon, either in this room or online. If I was a betting man, I would bet nobody is going to stand up and claim, no, I saw him. Thomas and I, no. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You believe, but you have not seen Jesus in physical form. And although sight unseen, yet we proclaim our devotion to Jesus this day in the same way and with the same words that Thomas did on that day when he said, my Lord and my God. Do we have those on the screen? Because they're so powerful. Would you say these with me? Would you proclaim these with me on three? One, two, three. My Lord and my God. Thomas was the first, but he certainly won't be the last. And think about this with me before we sing together in a moment. From this moment, my Lord and my God, to the end of Thomas's life, Thomas was convinced that Jesus not only had died for our sins and risen from the grave, but also that Jesus was his personal Lord and God. You see, friends, Thomas repented. That means to rethink the way you think about something and go in a new direction. 8 days earlier, he was in a different place, was he not? Now he's rethinking the way he thinks about things and he's going in a new direction. That's repentance. He repented, he believed, he followed Jesus, obeying all of his commands. And historical tradition suggests that Thomas ended up taking the gospel all the way to India. I have several friends who are of Indian descent. Several friends from India over here. I have been amazed at how many friends from India have the name Thomas. And then it connected. Thomas brought the gospel to India. And so many followers of Jesus from India have attached themselves to that name because that's the name that came bearing the truth that helped them not to see and believe, but to believe even though they've never seen. Yeah, wow. My goodness. Faith communities in India to this day trace their roots back to this original disciple of Jesus. And Thomas eventually was martyred for his faith, being run through with the deadly end of a spear. He was killed because of the testimony that he shared of the one true God named Jesus who came to save people from their sin. If they repented, if they believed, that's what the scripture says. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. And not only confess and believe, but follow. Follow his teaching. Obey his commands. He is the king of this kingdom that is opening up on earth as it is in heaven. He's the king of the kingdom. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is the king, you will be saved. And it goes back to belief. We must follow. We must obey. That's what Jesus invited his original disciples to. Not agree. He didn't say confess and agree. He said confess, believe, and follow me. It's about following all the way with every area of our life. And friends, Thomas invested his life telling people about Jesus and how Jesus did rise from the dead in triumphant fashion after that brutal death. See, you don't get to the glory of Sunday without the brutality of Friday. Good Friday was good for everybody but Jesus. On that day, it was a bad day for a Jew on a stick. And that sounds shocking, doesn't it? Because it is. And that's who he was. He was a Jewish man, fully God, on the wood of a cross at Calvary. It was a bad day for Jesus. It was a great day for humanity. Because he became the Lamb who was slain to take away our sin. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we might be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. That's what we get to choose to believe in. And yet that first Easter, that first Easter was a tough one for Thomas. I mean, perhaps just like us at times, Thomas's desire for proof was such that he simply just wanted to know that he knew. Do you ever just want to know that you know that you know? I mean, there's a moment in your time where you said you believed, and then maybe somewhere down the line, doubt has crept in, grief has begun to cloud your vision about who you see Jesus as being when it comes to your faith in the Lord Jesus as your God, as your personal Savior. Man, many seem to deal with the similar doubts that Thomas expressed in that moment that we read. I mean, just be honest for a moment. Do you doubt sometimes like Thomas? When you just don't have an answer to what's going on, but you feel the grief, and that's very real, but you're not sure if the realness of your pain in the middle of your grief trumps the belief that you have. Are you a doubter sometimes like Thomas? Let me just invite you to exhale. If you doubt sometimes, it's okay. It is okay. Because doubt is nothing new to Jesus. Nor is your fear something that phases Jesus or his belief in you. Jesus deeply believes in you. He believes in you. And Jesus, just as he was with Thomas, is kind and gentle with you today in your doubts. Just as he was with Thomas, 8 days after he walked out of the tomb and then walked into the room so that Thomas not only could see but also touch the wounds. See, touch, and believe. Feel and believe. Let me share this and we're done. 6 centuries after Thomas made his confessions about his doubt and then his belief, Pope Gregory the Great expressed the impact of this narrative when he said these words: Thomas's lack of faith did more for our faith than did the faith of the disciples who believed. You go, what does that mean? That means this: It's okay to doubt sometimes. It's okay to doubt. If you do, if you struggle with doubt sometimes, then let me invite you to do what a dad who was in desperate need of Jesus to do something. Because his son had some major problems going on. And he comes to Jesus in Mark chapter 9. And Jesus invites him to believe. And the dad says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." What a tension in the moment. What honesty. That's what Pope Gregory the Great was talking about. When you have doubts, just name them. But don't let them claim you. And you echo that prayer that was prayed to Jesus in Mark 9. "Lord, I do believe, but you've got to help me with my unbelief." That's what part of the sanctification process is. It means he's going to continue to fill in all the gaps. And he goes, "It's okay. It's okay. It's all right." May we never doubt the deep love and patience that Jesus has for all who desire to believe. Just as Thomas expressed his doubts on that first Easter Sunday, we too can express our doubt to the Lord. And our God, he is capable of handling our doubts with grace and with gentleness. Jesus can handle all of your questions, all of your doubts, all of your pain, all of your grief, all of your heartache, and he can deal with them in a way that something that has been so paralyzing can be transformed. And he will say to you, "Rise and walk, and you follow me. You follow me." Jesus invites us to believe, although unlike Thomas, we probably will not see, and we probably will not be able to touch his wounds this side of heaven. And still, don't forget, Jesus calls us blessed for believing, though not yet seeing with our own eyes. And may we believe this morning. May we believe this day, this Easter, as we move forward into and through all of 2021. And may we choose to trust our pain and our grief and even our doubts to Jesus beginning this Easter. And even though we cannot physically see him, may we both proclaim and follow him as he desires to be in our life. You know who he desires to be in our life, in my life, in your life? Our Lord and our God.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.